Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Area Hawaii Show!
Hello everyone, and welcome to this very special edition of the program. I'm Ariel Helwani here just outside our New York City studio, and I'm being joined by two men who really need no introduction. I'll give them a small one just out of respect. They're two of the greatest heavyweight boxers of the last couple generations. And on the 4th of April in London at the O2, the MF Pro debut on DAZN, they will be meeting in a heavyweight clash, 50th pro fight versus 50th pro fight. That makes 100 in front of the world to see. That is Derek Chisora, the pride of England, who will be making that walk for the 50th time, and he'll be going up against the bronze bomber himself, Deontay Wilder, who will also be making that 50th walk. What a unique and special situation this is, and it's so great to have you guys here with us. Thank you so much for being here, Deontay and Derek.
I mean, it's a pleasure for inviting us.
It's great to see you again. We've done a few Zooms, and I'll say the same to Derek. It's great to see you, although when I just saw Derek, he said it's nice to meet you. So I guess my interactions with him have not been as memorable as perhaps ours, Deontay. How should I feel about him saying nice to meet you when we've talked in the past?
You should feel good.
You think so?
Yeah, it's a good compliment.
Nice to meet you.
Good to see you again, Derek. I appreciate you guys doing this. And I know you guys have done a bunch of media together here in New York City. Can I ask you, Deontay, first, being around your opponent this much, you know, 2 months before the fight, do you like that?
I mean, I have no problem with it. You know, I have no problem with it at all. You got to understand, we're older fighters. You know, we done been through all that other stuff, the chaos and stuff like that. I've always been a mild-mannered type of person. I get a lot of things come my way because people don't know who I am, you know, as a person, you know, especially outside of boxing. So, you know, they always assume or speculate certain things or whatever. But, you know, I'm a people's person. I don't meet strangers, you know what I mean? So being able to be in front of my opponent is a beautiful thing for me. It shows you the gentlemanship that we have with each other, the respect that we have for each other. But on the night of the fight, you'll see two different people, like we didn't know each other. And for me, that is even more powerful than two guys just looking mad at each other, trying to find something to sell a fight. We don't have to sell the fight that way. We can sit right here as gentlemen and tell each other how we feel about each other, but on the night of the fight, this is how it's gonna be, you know? And I think that's even more better and exciting than all the other stuff, the chaos. I know people wanna see all the talking and all that stuff, but it's a time and a place for all things. Not saying that we don't have that in us, because, I mean, we can fuck shit up in here too, you know what I'm saying? If it get to that point, but it ain't no need for that. The respect level is very high. And long as we do what we have to do, come April the 4th, that's all that matters.
And I could feel that respect. I could feel just sitting here before you guys talking about life and seeming like you're mates. No one would ever expect that you'd be, you know, fighting in 2 months' time. What's it been like for you spending so much time with Deontay 2 months before the fight?
It's been great. But New York is just cold, bro.
Yeah.
You know, I think we spend more time together in Saudi and Dubai as well. But at the same time, you know, we're still friends and brothers, but we want to fight. So, you know, I know people were expecting for tables to be thrown and this happened, you know, different languages spoken. But you know what? It's just one of those things like, you know, I respect this guy and I want to fight him. You know, I will not disappoint on the night. It's going to be a very cracking fight, a good fight for me and him. You know, so right now it's all quiet, but I believe from Monday when we start selling the fight, on the fight week, it's going to be crazy.
The journey to this 50th fight for you has been one that's been talked about for the last, you know, 2-3 years. Why did he make sense? Why is he the man that is worthy of being your 50th fight?
Because I think I have boxed everybody. You know, I've boxed everybody in my era. Even in the new era, I've boxed everybody. You know, I think it's the right fight. He's a knockout artist. I don't think anybody's going to have... Has anyone broken your record of the knockouts?
Yeah? No,
I think nobody will.
By far.
So, Yeah, so I'd rather be in that mix with him. You know, I won the fight, and he wants to fight. I've been looking at this fight for years. And when it made sense, it made sense.
How did we end up here for you, Deontay? Not that long ago, we were talking about Alexander Usyk, and I know you've been asked about this recently, but it was right. just kind of out there,
yeah.
and it seemed like, oh my God, you're going to fight in front of 140,000 people in San Francisco. Your name is attached to that event, and then all of a sudden, here comes this fight. So how did you end up here, and are you content with how things played out?
I'm very content how things have played out. You know, make a long story short with the other situation. My team still stayed in contact in negotiation with Derek and his team. You know, while the Usyk, you know, situation was going on, we didn't have too much of a negotiation going on because they were still figuring out, you know, places. They were still figuring out what type of month that the fight would be in and different things like that. But we got to understand that this is boxing, and we're older fighters. I'm not a young fighter. I can't sit around and just wait. The clock is ticking. And you got to understand, this is boxing. So in boxing, things go either slow or they go fast. There's no medium. And you got to sit here and you got to be, it's like a shooting star. You got to be ready to catch it at the time. And with this fight, it came at the right time, the right moment. And then it's like, since when we made the fight, the other side was like, all right, let's go. But it wouldn't be fair, you know what I'm saying? To like, oh, you know, I'm thinking about, oh, go and get the titles. Nah. You know what I'm saying? Because we supposed to have been fighting years ago, supposed to fought in December, he was supposed to fought in February, and now here it is now. And believe it or not, even Derek don't know this, but I need him more than he need me.
Why is that?
Because of what I'm trying to accomplish in this division of coming back. You got one man said this is his last fight. This is his last 50th and last final. For me, I feel there's more to come. You know, I don't have nothing to prove, but what I wanted to gain for my own self and my sanity. So when I do hang it up, I'm like, yeah, I done everything. I did what I wanted to do. I gave it my all, you know what I mean? It's hard for me to give up and quit. I've never been a quitter. And for him, because of his style and what he brings to boxing, I mean, he ain't war to Sora for nothing. You know what I mean? He comes to fight. He comes to get you out of there. I need that energy that he's gonna bring. I need that relentless that he's gonna give. I need that I don't give a fuck who you are mentality, a mindset that he's gonna bring to the table. Of course we're cordial right now, but it ain't fooling me. I know, you understand me? So it still gets you, I feel it.
Is the plan get through him and then Usyk? Is that the hope?
That's the ultimate plan.
Okay.
You know, that's the ultimate plan, and we'll see what happens, you know. But at the end of the day, no matter what happens, you know, it's a pleasure and it's an honor. It's a double pleasure and it's a double honor to be able to fight my brother, you know, Derek, and be able to fight on MF Pro, you know what I mean? As they debut, as the 100th fight, you know what I mean? It's perfect. At least for me, how I feel the things, and the fans is not going to be disappointed at all. They know it and we know it as well.
So clearly not his retirement fight, but definitively this is it for you.
Yeah, it's quite, listen, I keep saying to my brother here, it's a sad day on this day, because it's a retirement fight for me, but subconsciously a retirement fight for him. He don't realize it yet. He don't realize it yet.
What do you mean?
What I mean is like...
You're ending all this.
I'm going to tell you, it's one of those things like, he ain't gonna win the fight, so what happens when he loses the fight? It's every time, it's a bow down for both of us, but he's in denial. You understand? You see, he's planning all this nonsense. Oh, I wanna fight, you sick, I'm a stopover and all this. I'm all right with that, I'm okay with it. I'm the gatekeeper, I hold the golden key, I'm okay with it. But as they say in the Lord of the Rings, thou shalt not pass.
Do you think he's looking past you?
Pardon?
Do you think he's looking past you?
Listen, for me, I don't care. You know, growing up, I was one of those ugly guys in the rave. All the beautiful girls just go to all the good-looking guys. But let me tell you something. Now those beautiful girls want to come to me, but I don't want them no more.
Mm.
You get it? So I got this mentality like, I don't care. You know, yes, I'm a stepping stone for this young man here, this knockout artist. I'm happy with that. I am Yeah, but on that day, on the April 14th, O2 Arena, London, it's a sad day. They'll be singing both of us out, and Frank Sinatra did it my way, because he ain't coming back after he fights me.
Wow, wow. So is there a chance that that happens? I know you want to think about the positives and what could be on the other side of this, right. But if things don't go your way,
there's
on the 4th of April.
Up off of retirement.
I mean, even if things don't go my way, you know,
I'm not done. Okay.
At least what I'm saying, but I'm not worrying about that because I'm passing through. Even if the gatekeeper don't give me a pass, I'm kicking it through.
No, gatekeeper ain't letting you in.
Throughout my whole entire life, nothing has been given to me.
Oh, you shall know.
Yeah. I'm going to kick the dough in. I'm going to kick it in and I'm going to go through.
Passing by, son.
That's it.
Could I ask, did you watch his fight in June, his return fight?
No.
Why not?
I didn't watch it.
Will you watch it?
Yeah, maybe I'll watch it. But
I was wondering what you thought of how he looked after the time off, getting the win.
You know what? This is one of the biggest mistakes I have in my career. I've never watched anybody's fights.
Mm. In preparation?
I don't even watch my own fights.
But when you're preparing for an opponent?
Fights, I've never watched none of them.
Really?
Yeah. I have. Trust me, I don't watch my fights. Because I look at it like, why am I going to leave that scenario again? Even when I win, why? Because, you can improve your skills on this. I'm like, okay, maybe so. But really and truly, it's done. Mm. I can move on to the next one. You know, I don't need to watch you.
But when you're game planning for a guy, wouldn't it be beneficial to watch some tape?
Yes, the game plan for me, I'm all right.
Sure.
Yeah, because I know exactly where I need to be. I'll tell you what I'm going to be. I'm going to be on his chest, rock and roll with him. I will not give him any space. By round three, I apologize, he'll be blowing out his ass. Because I'm going to be coming.
Oh.
Yeah, that is God in the truth. I can't say anywhere else. You know, I always told everybody that I'm coming. There's no ways about it. I am coming for you. I don't see anything else. I have to get to this man, and I have to hit him and pound him and hit him everywhere. I'm coming for him.
Do you believe he has that in him?
Yeah.
What he is saying?
I mean, he's proven.
At this point in his career?
He's proven. It's just like with my power. It's proven. You know, it's God-given. It's proven. And that's why I feel this is the perfect fight for me. That's why I need him more than he needs me. You know what I mean? I need his style at this point in time in my life because I am truly mentally back like I should be. I've been through a lot of shit, man. You know, only those that are close to me only know what all I've been through. And when the mind goes, so does the body. Physically, spiritually, I've always been his, never left. Mentally, when that engine ain't running no more, the body's done. As many times I was supposed to cancel the few fights, but you still got a family to feed. And then you got that point of I'm trying to motivate myself, convince myself, you okay, you'll be all right. You know what I mean? Try to put this to the side. But the situation that I was in, it was just, I never been there before. It had me in a chokehold and I couldn't release myself. And I'm trying to, what's going on? Like, you know, it's just tough. It's tough when you go through betrayal of so many people when you done spent millions on the entire village and everybody betray you. You understand me? You know, I can damn near shed tears now because of the hurt. My heart is still hurting. But it's not a hindering on me. You know what I mean? It's not a burden on me anymore. You know what I'm saying? After getting certain helps and things are coming in, it ain't a burden. At this point in time, I'm the happiest I've ever been. I feel back to myself. I sound back to myself, you know? And it feel like a new beginning for me. And with this new beginning, I need someone like him to for me mentally to see if I'm truly back. I need his style. I need the personality of him. I really, truly need him. And it's an honor and pleasure to be able to share the ring with him at this moment in time. And, you know, I'm a man of timing. I believe in things may not come when you want it, but God is an on-time God. Those past times that's supposed to happen, it didn't happen for a reason, for this very reason right here. And that's how I truly feel. So it's going to be an amazing fight.
How'd you turn things around?
After two therapists and a sports psychologist.
Okay.
You know, especially as a black man or black people, you know, we don't really, you know, look for a therapist and different things like that. I don't know if it's a cultural thing or whatever, because, you know, with my race of people, you know, we all need some type of therapy. We all got PTSD. The things that we've been through as a race, we need it, you know. But a lot of us, you know, down it, downplay it, don't think we need it. You know, at some point in time, you know, I've always was strong-minded, and I feel like I could overcome anything with my mentality or my mindset because of what I had to go through as a young boy, you know what I mean? But I got into a situation where it was too overpowering, and I needed help with it, you know? So here I am again. It's hard for me to give up and quit, you know? And I'm a testimony to a lot of people that have given up in life to never give up. Because if you give up, you'll never know what you could have done if you didn't give up.
Is there a part of you, Derek, that relishes the idea of everyone talking about your retirement, but you doing that to him? Like, is this part of the motivation? Like, hey, young buck, we're both going on this night because I'm going to beat you so bad?
Nah, motivation for me is just, I like to fight. There's nothing else. I don't wake up and say, oh, I need to get motivation. No, I just enjoy fighting. Do you understand? I enjoy fighting. And I'm finding this young buck here, so I'm excited.
So why walk away if you enjoy
it? How old are you?
I'm 40.
Oh, I'm 41. I'm 41.
Yeah.
He looks like a young buck.
Am I 41 or 42? I don't know.
It doesn't matter. Age is nothing but a number.
42, isn't it?
God damn.
If you enjoy it so much, why walk away now?
It's the wife.
It's the wife.
Yeah.
She's the one?
Yeah.
So you would stick around if you could, if you had her blessing?
Yeah, the wife gave me years ago, because she told me to retire years ago when I lost the fight. And I go to her, let me get to 50. And she goes, you promise? I'm like, I swear that I'll get to 50, I'm out. And then I had phone calls from people saying, you need to retire. I'm like, let me get to 50, and I'm done. So everybody knows 50 is here now. So what I'm, and then on top of that, to make you, to, for you to understand, I've been seeing a therapist for a while now for retirement, so I can get into that mood of retirement. Because the point of, you just retire, you don't see a therapist, it's a lie, my friend. There's demons in here. We have demons. So I see a therapist, and I'm going to retire, and that's it.
Well, what happens in 2-3 years when that itch, some people retire when the itch is no more, and you've had enough. But here, it's a promise that you made to someone that you love, but that doesn't mean the itch is gone. So what happens in 2-3 years when you're like, man,
the itch is never gone. The itch is always going to be there.
How are you going to handle it? How are you going to handle that?
The same way I don't cheat on my wife. That's the same way I'll handle it. Like, no, I'm married. No, I'm retired. Thank you.
You don't think it'll be hard?
No, it's not hard. I'm retired. It's done. It's done.
I ask this because a lot of boxers say they retire and then they come back 2-3 years later. That's why.
No. If I come back, probably a week.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not coming back.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can't wait for 2-3 years to come back. No, because this is pointless. Mm. I'm done. Listen, you don't understand. It's just like, what's there? When am I going to come back and fight who?
There's always going to be someone.
Yeah, but for what, though? Who am I going to come back and fight who?
Francis Ngannou, Alexander Usyk, Moses Itama.
Should I get in the ring with that young buck for the sake
of it? I'm just saying, some promoter is going to come.
Nah. You know, sometimes it's always good to bow down, bow out.
Sure, I
agree.
When
it's all said and done. Because when you stay in that split second, something will happen. You know, I'm coming out this game with all my verticals right. I drive straight, you know, I walk straight. You know, I speak great, I think. You know, so I'm okay. So I don't want to come back in there for the sake of coming back and then something goes wrong and then you're like, fuck, I wish I didn't go back.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to live by I wish I didn't go back.
How do you feel about fighting him on his turf?
I love it.
You like that?
I love
Why?
Every bit of it. I need to take myself out of my comfort zone. Like I said, the whole thing, even from the promotion on down to the opponent, on down to the grounds that we're going to be fighting on. It's a dream. Like, I needed this. You know, everything. I don't want to be in my home turf. I want to be in his own territory because I want him to do what he say and I know he's going to do. And when he have the crowd advantage, that's even more lift him up. I told him to kill me if he can. You understand me? Because when we step in the ring, people don't understand what we're risking stepping in that ring, people think they on this outside and just seeing a boxing match, seeing skill versus skill or whatever, but no, we're putting our whole life at line. And I don't understand people I don't think people understand how severe that is. You understand me? Because the head is not meant to be hit. The body is not meant to be beaten down like we're gonna do to each other, or like, as we do, as you see fighters. Over 13 fighters dies a year. I mean, it's reported. That tells you a lot. So that's why my hat go off to every fighter that steps in the ring, because I understand the severeness. Doctors have told me many a times what I'm up against. Every time I broke my hand and came, you know, they'll come back and like, how the hell you still fight? How you doing this? Because of my small frame, but I have, my power is like, it's like Samson. You understand me? And they always tell me, you know, the head's not meant to be hit. Your body's not. That's why every fight I go get CTs, I go get CAT scans, I go get MRIs, I make sure I check my body, because on the outside I may feel good. Everything may be going great. But in the inside, I may have caused the effect that I can't feel just yet. And it's building up, you know what I mean? If you don't get yourself checked out, you won't know, you know? So I understand when he said, this is my last fight. This is, you know what I mean? And you do see a lot of fighters come back all the time. You know, some people just do it for the publicity stunt of things. And most time guys are not real, because they get that itch. Mm. You get that itch, and then somebody come with you over with a couple of meals in the back. You know what I'm saying? It's desperate times calls for desperate meals, especially if you are rocking a hard spot. What you gonna do? You know what I mean? But I could totally understand how you feel. You know, if he's looking at the way I'm looking at fighting and what it does to our body, even in training, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, sometimes people go longer. That's a lot of wear and tear on your body. No fighter is 100% stepping in the ring. Unless they ain't give it all they got in training. If you give it all you got in training, so you're not coming to that ring 100%. You may feel 100, but their body ain't 100. You can do all you can to make sure you get the proper help, the rehabilitation for it and all that and stuff like that. And you just pray to God, that's it. And get in there and just hope for the best. That's it. Hope that I get in this ring and get out the same way I got in it. If not, then hey, may God take my soul. And that's just me, you know. You understand? I want them warriors. I want them real warriors. You know. That's all.
I would say you're one of them as well. I did hear you say recently though, when this is all done, you're taking all the gloves, all the gear, everything, and you're burning it.
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Believe me.
Why would you burn your stuff? This is your life's work.
For what am I gonna keep it for?
Your legacy, your children, I don't know.
They're all right. The kids are fine. They don't need to see my boxing gloves and boxing shorts for the sake of it. They're all right. Legacy for them is the money in their bank account. Everything else is just trash. You know? It's just not, you know.
The blood, the sweat, the tear, the training camps.
I did it for me. I didn't do it for my kids. I did it for me. I fight for me. I don't fight for my kids. I fight for me, for my enjoyment, for my pleasure. You know, this is why my kids, I brought them to the fight a couple of times. And I realize, I don't want this. This is my thing. I'd rather fight and give them the money, but this is my thing, for me. Yeah, so, because when I train by myself. When I'm running at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm by myself, you know. So I was like, well, it's okay. They came to see me once or twice. I mean, that's it. They can catch the rest on TV. When I leave the house, I leave by myself. I come back, my kids are home. You know, so I do it for me. I do it for my happiness. Makes me very happy when I do it for me. I don't have to worry about them when they're there, what's going on. You know, as a parent, if your kids are in the building, the same building as you, if they're there, yes, you might have security, but you're in the back of the mind, you're like, why is she going there? Where's the security guard? Oh, well, no, I don't do that anymore. So I do it for myself. You know, I like to arrive at the arena by tube or train, by car, but I normally like to take public transport, basically. You know, and just go there and just do it for myself, go back home and just hang out with my kids.
They won't be at the last one?
I don't know yet. We're just having a discussion with the mother right now.
Okay.
But I don't know yet.
Why tube to the fighter, public transport? Most people want to be alone. They want to be in a fancy car. Why would you want to be with the regular folk as you're about to go to war, so to speak?
I like it.
What about it?
Because when I'm by myself in the car, my thoughts are crazy. When there's people around and I'm hiding and I'm playing this whole cat and mouse, if people can recognize me or not, It's quite cool. It's very interesting. So I like that.
Wow. Would you do that? Take the subway to one of your fights?
Nah.
He's too tall. You can't.
You can't blame.
I can recognize his ass.
Okay. But, you know, that's the unique thing about boxing. And you have these different characters that's in boxing. Everybody different. Everybody have a different mindset, a different way of living, a different outlook of things. And that's what I love about it. You know what I mean? And then when you hear another fighter speak how he live his life, certain things I can relate and certain things I can't, you know what I'm saying? And it's good here. Even with the kids, because I only got into this business because of my daughter.
Right.
That was born with spina bifida. And I've done a lot of things for my family that got to this point. But at this stage right now, I'm selfish.
Yeah.
You understand me? I've been selfless for my whole career. And it'll put me. Look what it'll put me to worry about others and do for others. Damn. But right now it's for myself, you understand me? I ain't never really done that for myself because I've always, at the age of 12, been taking care of somebody, been doing for others. My heart is pure and good. The things I've done for others, I never have gotten the same and equal in return. If I give you something, it's yours. I don't want it back. Because I know what I've done for you, you know, and God knows. That's all that matters to me. You understand me? And that's it. And at this point, it's just for myself, you know? So I'm like him and started his career, you know, doing it for himself. This is where I am now. It's all about me. You know, I didn't set my kids up for generation wealth. I got trust. I got wills. I got all that stuff for them. They're good not only while I'm here, but they're going to be even better when I die. You understand me? But not only the financial part about it, I spend a lot of time with my children. I'm not one of those parents that I just give them money and stuff. They go, because the kids don't care about that, man. You can give them $1,000. You come back, it's on the floor. You know what I mean? But that time, that quality time, your presence, what the kids, what they were about. You know, one time I was coming from a trip and I missed the kids and I came and I went to the mother's house and I was just sitting on the couch, you know, and my daughter, she's playing with her. I think she had a doll in her hands and stuff like that. And her mom said, "Hey, Olivia, your dad is here." And she like, "Mom, I know he's here." She like, you're not gonna, you know, talk to him and then like that. And I had to stop her. I'm saying, "You see what she said? Do you understand what is going on? My daughter understands that I'm in her presence." And that's all that matters. She know that in any given moment in time that she can stop what she's doing and come to daddy. Whether it's to sit by me, whether they sit in front of me, interact with me or whatever. Just my presence alone will make them feel great. I don't have to interact with them. They know what daddy is all about. They know daddy loves them more than anything in this world.
Damn right, bro.
You know what I mean?
Damn right.
I cry over my children. I pray over my children. You know what I mean? Real fathers do those things. And not only I take care of my own, I take care of others as well. You know what I mean? But that quality time is everything, you know? And I had to get her mother to understand what she was saying. Because kids are very smart. You know, we look at the age of them and we'll dismiss them automatically because of the age. Oh, they're too young. They don't know. Yes, they do. They do. You have to pay attention to children. Why you think scientists and most people use children for certain things? In their case, they too young. Why are you using them? Go get an adult. Because they're very powerful. So with that being said, it's all for self. And I think I'm going to be bringing two of my sons with me on this trip. So
when you were talking about being selfless now as opposed to selfish, you got emotional there. Can I ask why? Why did that bring out the
just
emotion?
Just the things I've been through. You know what I mean? Just you got to understand I done fed an army of people. You know what I mean? And majority of most have betrayed me, have lied to me, have stole from me. You know, and I ain't the only person. You know, you always hear from successful people, you know, how family are. You know, they feel obligated and entitled. You know, loved ones and close relatives, you know, close people that's close to you. They said the saying is the only people that can truly hurt you is the one that's the closest to you. And that's so true. And you know, you get emotional because you would never think they would do that to you. If you my brother and I've took care of you for damn near all your life, and I've taken care of your family, your kids that you done made, and handled certain things that you supposed, the possibilities of other kids you supposed to have, and you betray me, you steal from me, you lied to me. My heart is broken. You are kicked out of the kingdom. The bridge is burnt. You'll never come back. Now I look at you as an enemy. And if times get hard and it comes to a situation where we have to face off, I will shoot you.
Fuck me. Don't shoot me on the 4th of May, bro. Don't shoot me.
It just get to that point, that build up, like you just can't believe out of all the things, out of all the time, the money that you just spend on people, and they didn't give you nothing, zada, nothing. And them to do you like that, it turns your heart so cold. You know what I'm saying? But I'm glad that I'm the person that I am, because I don't take what I've endured in life, what people have done to me, or whatever situation I've been in, and I use that to reflect on anybody else. If I did, I'd be a man walking. Nobody would really like me. You know what I mean? I'd be a different type of character. My attitude would be different. You know, I probably wouldn't be, I'd be one of those guys that you can't stand to see coming. You know what I mean? But I'm glad God made my heart how it is, you know? If I have vendetta or a grudge against you, I don't have that to your homeboy. I don't have that to your kids or whatever. They ain't did nothing to me. It's you. We got the problem. That's it. You know, so.
The juxtaposition of your two demeanors right now, I find to be very fascinating.
In what sense?
There's a lot of emotion here. There's a lot of passion. There's intensity. And I'm not saying you don't possess that, but you see the light at the end, and you're coming off as content and not with that same type of...
You know, it's like, I think Deontay's gone through a lot.
What do you make of what you're hearing from him? And I'm sure you've heard...
I mean, like, he's a guy who's let a lot of people in his life and they've actually messed him up about and taken stuff. You know, for me, I grew up in Africa. You know, we see things a mile off. You know, the only person I really trust in this world is my mother. You know, everything I own is in my mother's name. Yeah, so if my friend wants to borrow money, I say for my mother. Do you understand? That's how I see things. I don't have many friends. I have acquaintances, but I don't have friends. You know, friends for me, yes, but I got acquaintances. I got acquaintances with so many people I talk to. Hey, how are you? Let's have a drink or let's go hang out. But I don't have brothers. I only got my three brothers. Understand? So he's gone through a lot, you know.
You feel for him?
Yeah, and at the same time, he's healing.
Yeah.
Because he is expressing his emotions, and that's part of healing why he's chosen. You know, some people, he was bottling up for the last 3 years, but now he's talking about it. And that's a very dangerous man to fight now, because now I'm not fighting the 4 years, 2 years ago, the antiport, I'm finding a new man now, because now his expressions of like his therapy, forget therapy, he films and goes sees. His therapy is this year, when he's saying how he feels to the world and the emotions are coming out. So I'm sitting here listening to this guy and I'm like, fuck me, this guy is healing. So the 4th of April, madhouse.
Did you learn new things about him? Do you have a different impression of him now that you've spent this time with him today?
Yeah, he's always been the same, you know? He's the same guy, you know, very kind-hearted.
But now a healed version of that same guy, so perhaps even more dangerous.
Yeah, maybe. All I'm saying is this is going to be electric. Very, very delicious.
Are there some people who would say, like, maybe the non-healed version of you is the more dangerous version of you? Maybe if there's too much happiness and content in your heart, you don't have that killer instinct?
Nah. The healed person is more dangerous. The non-healed person is less dangerous, because the unhealed person, my focus is not like it should be, that tunnel vision of when I'm healed. You know, when I'm unhealed, when you have so much on the outside of the ring, it's like this. I put it like this, something that's never happened to me before. You know, and you gotta understand that when I'm fighting and shit, it's just like with the Burmester Vern situation with the second one. And when I stood up here, I'm like this, I came outside of my body. I saw myself looking at him. And I thought it was going too long. I'm like looking at myself, I'm like, what the, you know, And then when it was time to get them, it seemed like my body came back into myself. And that's when I start, you know what I mean? So it's like when I had the last two losses, training camp went very well, you know. Things was right. We had nice sparring partners, got great talent to come in. But it was something about when the bell rung, it's like I was into a hypnosis state. I went back. I went back. And I didn't understand it. It's like, oh, it's like I'm in a place where I wasn't familiar with. So now I was like, what the fuck was that? Like, now I'm trying to get myself together. So the second one for it come with the Zane, the same thing happened. I just clocked out. My problems was more effective than the problem that was in the ring. And I didn't understand it. And that's when I'm like, I know I gotta go get help now. You understand me? It was one of the best things I ever done in my life. So I advise anybody that's questioning or doubting going to see someone or whatever, please go do. You know, it'll help you out. Real, because we all have trauma, bro. We all have PTSD. We all have been through things. You know, it's just like on this show of Traitors. You know, a lot of people are like, why are you? Because I had a PTSD moment. I'm a young kid, a black man, while being dark skinned. That's a real thing. It's a real thing. So with that being said, it's less likely to get believed when you say things. People are more aware of you and try to look at you a certain way, you know what I mean? And they expect the worst. They expect you to be the villain. Majority of the time, my whole career being in boxing, people have painted me out as the villain. You understand? They didn't drag my name. They didn't try to put dirt on my name, but they still couldn't bury me. Because I wouldn't allow that to happen. You understand? And I, you know, of course, I don't make it no better because I don't go out and speak. I ain't the one that come on the social medias and stuff and speak my case and stuff like that. I may do certain messages and put it in subliminally of what I'm saying, but I'm the one that plead my case because I don't care that much. And if what you're saying don't apply to me, then it definitely doesn't bother me. You know what I mean? This world is too emotional as is. You say one thing and say, man, you ignorant as hell, you know what I mean? If it don't apply to you, then why you feeling some type of way about it? I ain't talking. I may not be talking to you. I must not be talking to you if it don't apply, you know. But, you know, I'm in a different place. I'm in a different place in my life, man. You can tell by my demeanor, these smiles that I'm wearing on my face every day. You know what I mean? And not because I got a nice smile. It's because I'm happy.
I love it.
You know what I mean? I got a beautiful woman, you know, around me. I got beautiful children that I spend quality time with. They my best friends, you know what I mean? And when I talk about my children, I damn near cry too, right on spot. And the smile, you know what I mean? Because of the love that your child will give you unconditionally. Man, I can't wait to go home and see them.
I bet.
I tell them I love them at least 100 times a day. Whenever I feel it, I express. That's one of the great things about me. I'm a person that will express my feelings to you. Right when it hits me, you know what I mean? If I love you, I say, I love you. And I mean it because I'm feeling it right now. It ain't something that I ask my children when they say, they'll come up to me. I've said it many times to my kids. I love you, just automatically, just I love you, I love you. So they so used to hearing love from their father that they automatically come to themselves, come themselves to you. I got recordings of my kids will call me if I can't pick up. Daddy, I just want to say I love you so, 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 so much. You know how many times I done shed a tear being in under distress and under a certain situation? And I just want to call and hear their voice and I hear those messages. Daddy, you the best dad in the world. It's nothing like it. And you know that's pure. That ain't no fake. Now the world will give you the fake, but your children will give you that real. You know what I mean? And you know when it comes from them, oh man. So, you know, here I am. Different man, on a different mission, you know, and I need to get where I gotta go. That's why I'm sorry, brother.
Thou shalt not pass. I'm looking at you. I'm just like, I ain't letting these guys by. Thou shalt not pass.
With that evil laugh, you hear that?
Thou shalt not pass.
I get it. By the way,
go on.
You've been and done it all. You've fought for many of them. MF Pro. What do you make of this, and how did this come about for you?
Do you know what? Yeah, I want to be honest with you, because I know a lot of people are gonna watch this. You know, you got Queensbury,
yeah.
You got Metro, and you got Boxer, yeah.
In the UK.
In the UK, and then you got The Zone, and you got Sky. Sky stopped promoting fights for the last year, and became two powerful promoters, Frank Warren and Eddie Hearn. Now, when Frank Warren and Eddie Hearn are friends, that's bad business for fighters.
Why? Yeah?
Because your stock goes down. You don't get the money you want to get no more because they are friends. You know, people don't want to go to Boxer because he don't have the numbers on BBC.
Right.
So this is a business for me. So MF Pro came in. They're a young company. They're a new company. They got a point to prove. So what they do? They have to pay the money. You know, they want to play with the big dogs. So they came in. They said, we can offer this for you. I said, fine. I asked Queensbury. They said, no. Queensbury offered me crappy money. So I went MF Pro. You know, I'm happy that there's a new promoter in town. You know, so that way, if fighters want to fight, they can decide who they want to go with and what TV they want to be on. Because it's good for business for fighters.
Well, will the whole card be pro bouts? No influencer bouts, right?
No crossover? No. I said I don't want that.
Yeah.
It's a professional fight. Me and my brother fighting. Yeah. I don't want no gimmick.
Yeah.
I don't want no... I enjoy the YouTube fights because they bring a different audience and people enjoy that. My nephew enjoys that. My daughter enjoys that. But I want real fighting, real boxing rules, basically. That's what we're doing here.
Prediction?
Prediction. Retirement for me, retirement for this young man here.
Knockout? Last knockout was when? 2019?
You know, I don't knock people out.
It's interesting. Yeah. You don't.
But I mean, hurt people.
And he doesn't go the distance, so something's got to give here.
Something's got to give, but I can guarantee you he's going the distance and he'll be getting that rocking chair out when he gets back to Alabama to hang out with his beautiful kids.
What do you think? Prediction?
Knockout. Is it going to be me or him? You know?
It's going to be exciting.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be exciting. You know, I wanted to ask him a question.
Oh, please, go ahead.
He keeps saying that. He keeps basically you. I'm a stepover. Yeah, that's what you were saying.
What's that?
Stepover.
No, I don't think you're a stepover.
It's not an insult. I'm all right with that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not an insult. I don't find that as an insult. I'm a stepover.
I might step over you when I knock you out. But
okay,
I
well, fine, know. Fine with that. Yeah. And then you fight Usyk afterwards. That's the whole plan.
Correct.
Yeah. So what happens if I'm not a stepover? When I beat you, what do you do? Who's your next opponent? Because you say you're not retiring after that.
Well, we ain't thought about that. You know what I mean?
But you already thought about when you win, who you're going to fight it.
Well, it's obvious. I mean, that's in the play of right now. So that's easy to see. You know, it's like window shopping. I can see what I want right now. You know what I'm saying? I just ain't got the money to go get it. Compared to something that's about to come out and I can't even, I don't know what, you know, some kids don't even, you know, you get so poor, you can only just hear about things. A PlayStation, man. I wish I had a PlayStation. We can't afford that. You can only imagine now. So you don't know. But if you already got some set and your parents promised you, I'm gonna get this. So you looking at the pictures every day. You going to Walmart or whatever. You're like, I'm gonna get me one of those. That's gonna be next because it's been promised to me or it's been spoken about already. You know what I mean? So you have a different preference about it. At least in my eyes, are how I see
it. How confident are you that you will beat me?
I'm super confident. I'm very confident there.
Do you have a bet on it?
You want to?
Yeah.
What you want to bet?
No. Do you want to bet yes or no?
Let's do it. What you want to bet?
Come.
What you want to bet?
I beat you, you retire with me. You didn't see that one coming, did you?
And then what happens?
When I beat you, you can retire with me.
And then what happens if he beats you?
I'm retiring.
Well, you got to give him
something. That ain't going to be good for me.
You got to give him something
for you. And you know what, though? My financial advisor and all those guys, they do want me to retire, though. They're like, you don't need this no more. Listen, you know what you're doing? You don't need it.
I'll be honest with you. As a man, you do what makes you happy. I got one rule I live by. do what makes you happy. Mm. Yeah, in life.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't live my life of trying to make everybody happy. I do what makes me happy. Yeah, if I'm happy, everybody around me is happy. Yeah, I will not do anything else that I'm not happy about. Yeah, do what makes you happy. If you don't want to retire, don't retire. You want to carry on, you carry on because it makes you happy.
Right.
Yeah. That's it. You can shut it down.
Wow. I got to say, I've done a few of these in my day. I've never seen a dynamic quite like this one before a fight.
Yeah,
I feel like you guys are like...
Because we are old. We're time to be fucking around, playing
tables. I don't know if I want to see you guys like hang out and have like a buddy cop movie or fight each other. I don't know if I want to see you fight each other at this point.
Guarantee
I'm kidding about that, but I'm just saying what a fun dynamic this is. There's a lot of love here.
You were supposed to get us rocking chairs.
No,
I mean, it's just a sport. When you talk about boxing, you talk about the gentlemanship of in it, the sportsmanship of in this. This is what it looked like.
It's a beautiful thing. It doesn't always have to
walking
be so.
Walking in each other's face and all that, because sometimes that can be fake. It's just somebody that's nerves get to them that they trying to promote the fight too hard or too heavy or try to look at people or want them to try to buy into the fight. And then after the fight over, bro, we did a good job, man.
Yeah.
Nah, this shit real. Nah, we gonna talk like men and discuss. If we gonna be in a beef and go war, we can do that. You know what I mean? With our personalities, you can see at any moment, any time, it can be a cordial situation, and then it can go left as well, depending on what somebody say or whatever somebody may do, because we're fighters at the end of the day. But at the end of the day, it's still respect. It's a respect line between each other. You know, we handle our business inside of the ring. I have much love and respect for this man. When I have certain feelings for people, I express that no matter what setting it is. It's not, man, bro, you know, after this, we did a good job, bro. I just want to let you know, boom, boom, so forth and so forth. It's just like when he FaceTimed me when he was signing it. You know, when I express myself to him and stuff. And when I express myself to you and I say things, I truly mean it. Or I wouldn't say it at all. You know, and that's just the thing about it. We can love each other and have so much respect for each other and still put on the best fight in the world, which is going to happen April the 4th. You don't want to miss it.
What a way to end it.
Can't wait.
April 4th, live on DAZN, the debut of MF Pro, Deontay Wilder, Derek Chisora, number 50 versus number 50, retirement fight. Not a retirement fight.
We'll find out.
Gentlemen, this has been a great honor. Thank you so much for the time,
Thank
Derek. Deontay, thank you so much
blessings,
for the time.
Blessings. Thank you.